Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
You still have to root, though, for Wisconsin college basketball and football, the two most boring programs in the United States. And if you're asking if I'm still bitter from 2015, I am, is the answer to that. It's Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. Matt Jones, Myron Metcalf filling in, presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests appear on the Goodyear Hotline. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Well, fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. So go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you can save at geico.com. On the Goodyear Hotline is a person I really like because he's one of the few people in media that sounds like me, Ryan McGee, ESPN senior writer and co-host of Marty and McGee. Ryan, you know, for folks from the South, it's a big day. Does this SEC now basically run all of college athletics if this Texas-Oklahoma thing happens?
Yeah, I mean, they were kind of there anyway. I mean, you know, Marty and I have said 100 times with Marty McGee, and it's not just because our show is simulcast on SEC Network. Greg Sankey's the man that saved college football in 2020, and because of the approach that he took. And kind of showed everybody else the roadmap, you know, when it comes to Power Five conferences and how to do it. And because of that, a lot of people were already talking about, you know, we need a commissioner of college football. Well, we kind of already had one. And now, if you didn't believe that beforehand, you can certainly believe it now if everything that we're hearing comes to fruition. And I'm beginning to think there's no reason to think that it won't.
Is this the end, Ryan? Or is there a future where the SEC continues to gobble up more big programs?
Martin, I've always believed that 16 was the number. Like, I never believed that 14 was the number. I'm talking about the size of your conference. I've always believed that 16 was the number. I just, a couple weeks ago, you know, on one of our shows, I made the comment. I said, you know, I still believe there was one more big tectonic plate shift left when it came to realignment. I went and found a story I wrote in 2011 for ESPN the magazine, and it was about this idea of super conferences. And Roy Kramer, who was the commissioner of the SEC when they went into divisions and they started the conference championship game, the first one ever and all that stuff, you know, some people say he's a genius, some people say he's evil. But Roy Kramer told me, he said, 16 is the number. And he said the key to expansion is you expand with the right schools and you don't expand to so many that you collapse in on yourself, like that happened to the WAC when it was trying to survive years ago. And he told me, he said, the number's not 14, it's 16. That was in 2011. And so, you know, there's no reason now to think that you know, everything he said always seemed like it was, you know, prescient anyway, and now that really seems like it.
It always seemed to me, Ryan, that there were two moves to get to 16 for the SEC. One would be North Carolina and Duke and say, all right, now we're going to be the best at basketball too. But really, right, Money rules everything. And if money rules everything, then the move is Texas and Oklahoma. So you get to 16. Let's just assume it happens. I've been hearing a lot from folks around Kentucky that it's going to be four-team pods for scheduling purposes. And that the main reason is one of attendance of games. That each program wants to make sure that they get one game every 4 years hosting every team in the SEC. Do you think that even in the SEC, that reality of needing to put butts in seats is part of this?
I see it all the time. I've had this conversation with athletic directors at places like Georgia and Tennessee, and, you know, Auburn, and places where they point toward the student section and we're halfway through the second quarter and it's half full. Or they can't sell all their suites. Or, you know, we've seen stadiums. I was at Florida State and I'm like, what are y'all doing? They were contracting the total attendance number, but they were adding like these, you know, like beach cabana areas that you could rent. So that's what we're seeing is trying to put butts in seats because season tickets are getting soft. And, you know, there's a lot of reasons for that, I think. And listen, I'm told all of these athletic directors, commissioners, whatever, and Greg Sankey is a huge motorsports fan. And I've said, get all your really smart sports marketing doctorate students, and they need to go back and do a CSI on what the hell happened to motorsports in the United States. What happened to NASCAR? You know, what happened in the Indy 500? Because you know, when you're making money hand over fist, it can cover up a lot of mistakes. And that's honestly my feeling about all of this right now, whether it's NIL or whether it's playoff expansion or whether it's the transfer portal or whether it's now, you know, one more land grab of reorganizing, you know, whatever the power conferences are going to be. It's really easy to do whatever you want right now because everybody's making money. But when the plateau comes, and it's coming, we ask the NFL, you don't think it's coming, and one day it shows up, and they freaked out because they didn't have a plan. When the plateau comes or when there's a little bit of a dip or season ticket sales get soft, you know, what are you going to do? So I'm glad to know that pod idea. Peter Burns is the one that floated that, by the way, on SEC Network the morning after all this. And that pod idea, I think, is already thinking about, you know, a problem no one wants to address, which is, yeah, ticket sales aren't a huge problem yet, but they're a small problem that could become a huge problem.
Ryan, if you're the athletic director at Iowa State, Oklahoma State, Kansas, and the other schools in the Big 12 that have been left behind, what is your move today?
Your move is to be on the telephone. And, you know, and the question is, you know, put it into college basketball terms, this is where the Big East was. You know, I remember going to ACC Media Days and all of us asking John Swofford, the longtime commissioner who just retired of the ACC, about, you know, what can the ACC do to survive? Because the assumption at that point was the Big East was about to swallow the ACC up. But what we didn't know was that, you know, it wasn't that long after that John Swofford announced that basically all the good schools of the Big East were joining the ACC. You know, he was already working on it. So to answer your question, they need to be on the phone, and they need to be making two types of phone calls. They need to be calling the Big Ten, and they need to be calling the Pac-12. And then they also need to be calling BYU and Boise, and they need to be calling anyone, Memphis, Cincinnati, anyone with a good television market, because that's all that matters at this point. And so go try to get whoever you can get. And poor like TCU, right? I mean, how many times have they lived this? And they thought it was over, and now it's not.
Talking to Ryan McGee, ESPN writer and co-host of Marty and McGee. With every decision like this, there's winners and losers. I think when the SEC, when you had the first round of this, Texas A&M was the biggest winner. They basically became a major, major program almost overnight. Are they the biggest loser in this round?
Their entire existence over the last 10 years has been, if you want to play in the SEC and you live in the state of Texas, you got one option. And now that won't be the case. I mean, listen, you know, Marty and I were out in College Station just a couple weeks ago, and we were talking to A&M people. And, I think one of the greatest crimes of all of this has been the fact that we haven't had the Texas Tech A&M game. And, you know, I'm asking all these A&M people, we don't need it. Why do we need it? We've got everything we want. And now Texas is trying to sneak in the back door on them, and they are super, super not happy about it. And I don't blame them one bit. The problem is, there's a great story on ESPN.com right now written by, you know, Myron and I have a roster of fantastic colleagues, and they put together a great piece today about, you know, what could happen down the road. And the only way A&M could block this is I think they have to get three other members of the conference to vote with them. And right now, I don't think they can get that.
Yeah, I don't think they – I mean, I know just here at Kentucky, Ryan, it's down to this. Every 4 years, you get to host Texas and Oklahoma. That's why you want to do it, even if it's harder to win.
Yeah. Well, and the good news is we would get Texas, Texas A&M back, and now Texas, Oklahoma is an SEC game. You know, and the better news is, what's it going to be like when Georgia goes to Norman, right?
Yeah. It's gonna
or
be great.
When Florida goes to Austin. Are you kidding me? I mean, or vice versa, you know? And, you know, we saw it when Oklahoma went to Tennessee just a few years ago with Baker Mayfield. That was as electric an atmosphere as I've ever been in, because it never happens. And so that, you know, I don't think anybody's going to, you know, sleep outside the stadium, you know, to get their Vandy Oklahoma tickets. But I think that we get those other games, that's a pretty big deal. But, you know, what does it cost you in the state of Texas? And you know, the reality is that, you know, Texas and Oklahoma have been playing Baylor, and they've been playing Texas Tech, and they've been playing, you know, everybody over there for TCU for so long that now that goes away. And so There's no way you can gain anything without losing anything. But anybody that thinks that tradition has anything to do with any of this, I got bad news. It doesn't.
Ryan McGee, great stuff as always. We appreciate your time.
All right, boys. Have a great night.
There, we will do it. Now, that's something positive. Good football games. What about something divisive? The NFL's new COVID policy. We're starting to see that maybe it's divisive in at least a few locker rooms. How divisive will it be? That's next. Matt Jones, Meyer Metcalf, filling in for Chinay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Chinay and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Everything in the NFL may have changed a little bit yesterday when it comes to deciding and hoping for players to take the vaccine, because now they're talking about taking away some money. It's Chinay and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. I'm Matt Jones, Myron Metcalf. We are filling in. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, and at Progressive, they're making things even easier. You probably thought, it can't be any easier. Oh, it can. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. You can learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Now, the NFL sent out a memo yesterday that said, hey, we have a new COVID policy. And basically, they gave the possibility of people losing their money. Unlike last year, if there's a forfeit called this season and all of the following circumstances occur, a game is postponed by government authorities, medical experts, or the commissioner because of an outbreak, the league can't find a suitable date to reschedule the game, and the original postponement was caused by an outbreak due to unvaccinated players on one of the teams, then the team that got the outbreak will forfeit, and neither team will be paid. You also have the news today that assistant coach Rick Dennison, that's the offensive line coach for the Minnesota Vikings, he's out as the offensive lineman coach because he says, I'm not taking the vaccine. And I guess that didn't work well with what the Vikings were going to do. Myron, I don't think this is going to be the last of these stories. We saw some players yesterday tweeting out. Cole Beasley, I think, said, look, if I don't play, if they won't let unvaccinated players play, I won't play. I mean, you've had a bunch of those kind of comments out there. Do you suspect this will be something that lingers, and will this threat of not getting paid lead to a change in behavior?
I think it actually will. And I don't know if it'll be sort of this public back and forth that's happening with some athletes tweeting, you know, they feel like their freedom has been compromised. But I do think inside some of these locker rooms, Matt, where there's sort of a leadership structure and there are veterans in place who are going to say, listen, you're not going to mess with my money. Because no matter what the political atmosphere says, this is now about business. People are going to make business decisions. And I think in the NFL, people forget. Yes, you need a premier quarterback to win at the highest levels. For the most part, beyond that, most guys are replaceable. So this isn't like the NBA with some star player saying, I don't care what anybody else does. I'm not going to do it. In the NFL, teams will just move on. And as a result of that, I think a lot of these individuals are going to get with the program. They'll get vaccinated because they don't want to compromise anything this season.
Everyone in the NFL is fungible except about 10 guys, right? There's like maybe 10 to 15 quarterbacks, and everybody else is fungible. Every single person. The NFL is the one thing, the one organization where, like, I don't care how much leverage you think you have less than that unless you're one of these handful of quarterbacks. So you said it, like none of these guys that are not top tier quarterbacks are worth the trouble of real trouble with it. That's why I think some of these guys that are chirping publicly, I think it's a mistake. Whatever they decide to do, it's just not going to be worth it if it becomes a thing. I mean, the question about losing their freedom, they're free to do whatever they want. But you don't have a right to play in the NFL. Like, there's no, like, the thing out there that says life, liberty, and the pursuit of an NFL dream. Like, they can just say no. I think this, though, what I want to know, Myron, is does one of those top 12 to 15 quarterbacks, do one of them do it? That's what I want to see. Because that would be the one where it would become a moment, and I wonder if that happens.
I think one of them will. I bet one of them aren't necessarily vaccinated, but the numbers are pretty high. Apparently, over 75% of the players have at least been partially vaccinated. But beyond that, Matt, I think this becomes a training camp storyline But once this season starts, if those people, you know, put themselves in a position where they can't participate or they can't be involved or they have restrictions, we're going to keep moving because there aren't that many players who really move the needle in the NFL.
Yeah, that's the part that I think a lot of the players don't realize. Now, what about the coach, though? Are you surprised that a coach either takes that stand or that he's gone so quickly?
It's surprising that it would unfold this way, but I tell you what, if you're an assistant in this league, an assistant coach, and you're saying, not me, good luck keeping your job. Because you're not going to let that guy stand between you and getting into the playoffs and winning football games. It's
you're
just
extra
not
fungible if you're an assistant coach.
Yeah, it's just not going to happen.
This is going to continue to be a thing. But I think you're right in saying, like, football is the one place where the stand you're taking is the least. You know, football more than any other sport is about sort of taking away the individual for the collective. And this is just not going to be something that I think many teams are going to be willing to deal with. And I think the fellow players in the locker room may be even less. Now, are forfeitures and losing game checks going to be viable deterrents? We'll have to wait and see. But first, I want to tell you about Indeed, because the reasons to find your next hire with Indeed are starting to add up. Just look at the numbers. Instant Match searches millions of resumes in Indeed's database, and it delivers candidates whose resumes fit your job description. It looks around and says, you want this person. They have 135 skill tests that go beyond the resume to help you find the right candidates faster. And according to Talent Nest, which is one of my favorite sites, Indeed delivers four times more hires than the other job sites combined. So if you want to multiply your employees and subtract the hassles of finding them, visit Indeed.com/credit. Indeed.com/credit. We'll find out more about COVID, vaccines, and the NFL. That's next. It's Matt Jones and Myron Metcalf filling in for Chiney and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chiney and Golic Jr., the podcast.
That was a good conversation during the break for those of you that, well, none of you get to hear Myron and I during the break here on Chiney and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. Matt Jones, Myron Metcalf filling in. Excuse me. We were talking about who are the celebrities that no one in America dislikes, and there aren't many. And Myron, I would argue there's only two. And while you think about who those two are, I'll tell you, if you own or rent a home, you need to go to Geico. It makes easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you can save. It's geico.com, and it's easy. Myron, only two people that are celebrities everybody likes, Dolly Parton and Willie Nelson, and that's it.
Good list, man.
Mina Kimes, I bet you agree. I bet you like Dolly Parton, and I bet you like Willie Nelson.
Cannot think of a single person who objects to those two people. And if that person exists, they're not to be trusted.
Yeah. I can't. Can you think of another one, though, Mina? I those are the only two that I think everyone likes.
Whew. Gosh. Maybe Scott Van Pelt?
That's a good call, actually. He's up there. Mina, of course, is the host of the Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny, the podcast, NFL Live. She's an ESPN NFL analyst, and she's an overall awesome person. And with all the news today, Mina, with the vaccine and the new NFL memo, and now we have a coach who's out because he won't take it, where are we going on all this COVID vaccine NFL drama?
Well, I think we're going to a place where the vast majority of players and everyone else in and around the league is going to be vaccinated. I mean, the NFL has really taken a stand on this issue. This is essentially a mandate without calling it a mandate, right? And by the way, amongst the players, you know, the numbers are trickling in and trickling up. I mean, the original memo said it was something like 75% of players, it was 75%, had gotten at least one shot. We're hearing now that those numbers continue to go up as players realize that they don't want to live their lives like they did last season, getting tested constantly, being masked, showing up early, going through all those steps. And, you know, I think that makes a lot of sense. And it shows that the league's approach to this is effective, because not all players who are getting vaccinated are doing it because they want to. I think a lot of them are because they believe, along with the league, that it's safe. It reduces the transmission of the likelihood of transmission of this virus and helps protect others. But they're doing it for all of the other reasons, the risk of potentially being the source of an outbreak and causing a forfeit. And, you know, for people who are not players, meaning the coaches and the staffers, well, if they don't fall in line, then they risk losing their jobs the way we've seen today.
Mina, obviously this feels like it's going to be a big storyline going into training camps. But when we get to week one, how much of a storyline do you think this will be in the NFL?
I think it'll stop being a storyline by week one, frankly. Like, this is the time of year when this was always going to be kind of a pressure point for this, right? As we were hearing ahead of camp, okay, who has, you know, who's objecting to getting vaccinated? And this will all be really resolved by the beginning of the season. Now, again, there's a possibility that a player who does choose to remain unvaccinated tests positive or causes an outbreak. And by the way, there'll be players who are vaccinated and test positive, but it's easier to get back on the field that way. But I think those odds are pretty diminished with the levels of compliance we're seeing. And I think, you know, most of this is going to happen over the next week or so.
Mina Kimes, ESPN's NFL analyst and on NFL Live. I trust your judgment as much as anybody. I feel like when you say something, I buy it. So I'm tired of a story, and I want you to just tell me how it's going to resolve. Week one, Green Bay Packers, is Aaron Rodgers playing?
I lean yes. I'm as tired of it as you, if you can't tell by the huge sigh I just emitted. I don't know if that was audible, but I think so. I mostly just want to know, frankly, at this point, because I'm tired of speculating. But it seems to me, I guess I find it hard to believe that a Hall of Fame quarterback in the prime of his career, as competitive as Rodgers, would be willing to sit out a season. But obviously we won't know for sure until, you know, pretty soon, actually.
If he's back, what does that mean for Green Bay? Do you still think that is the team that maybe has the best chance of beating Tampa Bay?
You know, I think it's pretty close between Green Bay and the Rams. I do think Tampa Bay is the overwhelming favorite in the NFC. But Green Bay, well, what some people are overlooking is the fact that the defense has – first of all, they were decent last year, and they bring back a lot of talent and have a new defensive coordinator. And I suspect they'll be able to – stave off any regression on offense. You know, Green Bay's a team that was already pretty loaded and pretty deep on both sides of the ball. But the Rams adding Stafford, even with some of the losses on defense, brought them into contention as well.
Let me ask you a question. Every year it feels like there's one quarterback that makes the leap. I guess 3 years ago it's Patrick Mahomes. Then it's Lamar Jackson. Last year it's probably Josh Allen. There's somebody who we think of on one level – and by the end of the year, we think of them on the next level. It's always important to try to guess. Who's that going to be? If I'm going to sit there and go to Vegas and place odds, who takes the leap this year?
Well, I know this sounds obvious, but I do think Matt Stafford, who was not consistent, like he has not consistently been a top 10 quarterback over the course of his career. And the entire His entire career in Detroit, I think we've been trying to figure out how much of that depend on him versus the absence of a run game, at times lack of protection, play calling, what have you. Now he goes to one of the most quarterback-friendly systems in the NFL with a better offensive line, very good group of skill players, and one of the best play callers in the league, Sean McVay. To me, for him, you know, making the leap would be going from being like a consensus, I don't know, 10 to 15 quarterback to potentially a top five quarterback in the NFL. I don't think I would put him there, but he has a better chance of anyone, I think, of any of the quarterbacks in this league of entering that group.
I mean, according to the Dallas Morning News, Dak Prescott was asked today if he is vaccinated, and he said, "I don't necessarily think that's exactly important. I think that's HIPAA." What role do you think guys like him making those statements will play in this conversation going forward?
Well, they won't be advancing the public understanding of what HIPAA is.
I love when people say everybody thinks they know HIPAA. No one knows HIPAA. Go ahead, Mina.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if I should even summarize what it means. Basically, HIPAA means your doctor cannot share your medical information. It doesn't mean you can't share your medical information or people can't ask you. And in this case, that information, you know, it's something we're going to know which of these quarterbacks or football players are vaccinated, because if they're not vaccinated, they're going to be wearing masks, guys. Like, it's not that confusing. And like I said earlier, they're going to be living life like they did last season. So we will know soon. The public will know, because the NFL has decided that everyone should know. You know, like I said, most of these teams are trending towards very close to full compliance. I just don't think this is going to be a story for very long as a result, because the NFL really did kind of draw a line in the sand on this issue. And they did it because they want the season to go off without a hitch.
Is that right? You know what? I may have just missed that part of the story. Is that right? So if a player's not vaccinated, they have to wear a mask on the sidelines?
Yes. Oh, I'm not sure about the sidelines, but, you know, they're going to be wearing a mask in and around the facility, practice, when they're not on the field, that sort of thing. People will know, basically.
Well, there you go. That's the Scarlet.
It's going to be very hard to keep a secret.
Yeah, that's the Scarlet Letter right there. And I think if you're at all not sure, you're not going to want to have it. Mina Kimes, ESPN, NFL Live. Also, the Mina Kimes Show is awesome, her podcast. Thank you very much for the time. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Now that Giannis, Myron, has won the title, which I know makes you happy, the question is, who's next? Who's the next person that we get the video at Chick-fil-A where they get to be happy the day after they won the title that goes viral? It's Matt Jones, Myron Metcalf. We'll tell you, filling in for Chinay and Golic next here on ESPN Radio.
Chinay and Golic Jr., the podcast.
It is Chinay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, but they are not here. You get Myron Metcalf and me, Matt Jones. You can tweet us at KY Sports Radio or at Metcalf by ESPN. You know, we haven't taken any calls, but we could. 1-888-SAY-ESPN. You could call us, make fun of Myron for his terrible sports opinions. But you also can get ready, because we are brought to you by Goodyear. Help you discover the road ahead. Goodyear is more driven. Giannis won the title. I would say, Myron, is Giannis, we were just talking a minute ago about Dolly Parton and Willie Nelson being the two most liked celebrities. Does Giannis have the most universal approval rating into the NBA? Like, does anyone dislike Giannis? He seems like such a pure, wonderful dude. I don't know how anybody could dislike him.
No, I don't think he has any enemies. And certainly in Wisconsin, he's the biggest thing maybe, you know, since Brett Favre. I think he's above Aaron Rodgers to a lot of people right now in the state.
Well, he doesn't whine as much as Aaron Rodgers, so that's good. Listen, what are you shaking your head for? Aaron Rodgers, to me, anyone who threatens to not play to do a game show. I mean, you never heard, you know, Dan Marino wasn't like, I'm going to go host Match Game if the Dolphins don't pay me. I mean, at some point, like, you know, it's a little much, isn't it?
Well, I think the problem is the Packers are the ones controlling the narrative. They're the ones putting all this information out there. Aaron Rodgers just isn't speaking. And people have said that he's not talking. But it's the Packers who can't stop talking about Aaron Rodgers in this whole situation.
You know, I see which side you're on. But let's go back to Giannis for a second. Because I mean, the Giannis video of him at Chick-fil-A was so nice. He wants 50 minis, not 49, not 51. But for Giannis, prior to these playoffs, I mean, I think he obviously had won two MVPs. He obviously was a great player, but I don't know that people necessarily put him in the LeBron, Durant, Steph category. He was a notch below. Now he's in it. Whenever you're listing the top five players, he's in it. Who is the next player that maybe we don't consider super duper star that has the best chance to win a title to put himself in that category?
Well, let me first tell you something about Wisconsin sports fans. When Giannis did that video, I know people personally who drove to that Chick-fil-A thinking that they would catch him. I don't know if we understand the concept of drive-thrus.
They didn't understand that it wasn't live.
I don't know if they thought he was going to stay and then sign autographs, but a lot of people rushed to that restaurant thinking he'd still be there. But I think the person who's going to win their first championship, it's not a fun answer. I think it's either James Harden. With the Brooklyn Nets, if they're healthy, they're going to be one of the top teams in the NBA.
But now wait a minute. Let's say he does it. Does that change how people look at him, or do they just say, well, you played with Durant? I don't think that we would necessarily change our vision of who James Harden is if they won.
I think we changed our vision of who Kevin Durant was when he won with the Warriors. Now, a lot of people didn't like how he went to the Warriors and what had happened before. But I think the perception of Kevin Durant when he won a championship, even next to Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, and Steph Curry, I think that elevated his profile.
Well, you're probably
and I think
right
it would happen for James Harden, too, if he won with Kevin Durant.
All right, so take him out, though, because I don't think that's a fun answer. Take him out, then who's most likely?
I mean, it's Chris Paul or Russell Westbrook to the Lakers, right? If that, those moves happen, I think one of those two guys with the Lakers probably have the best chance. But if you're talking about sort of the organic answer, somebody who's not attached to the Lakers or attached to the Brooklyn Nets, maybe it's Dame Lillard. Maybe Dame goes somewhere. Maybe it's, I don't know, New York or Miami or someplace like that, and he finds a way to become, you know, have a Giannis year, because I think he's going to add so much to whatever team he ends up on this coming season, if he's traded.
If you were to say, okay, so what I think was interesting about the NBA this year is that there were literally seven teams that probably could have won the title, right?
Yeah.
How many teams do you think have a legitimate – let's assume there's no major move. Let's assume that you don't get Dame Lillard to the Lakers or you don't get Russell Westbrook to the Lakers. Let's assume that teams stay in the vicinity of what they are now. What teams do you think have a legit shot to win it all? The Lakers, the Nets, the Bucks, and who?
I mean, the Sixers are always kind of a mystery.
But I mean, but do I you think, really believe that?
I mean, all they had to do this year was beat the Hawks. I mean, they had
but
to beat the Hawks.
But that won't be like that next year, though. I mean, next year, like, the Nets are going to be good. Like, it's not going to be the same next year.
I think they'll still be competitive, especially if they – either keep Ben Simmons or make some sort of a trade and get something in return. But I think in the Western Conference, it's more interesting because now the Warriors maybe are back if Klay Thompson is healthy. It sounds
are they
like Thompson.
Can they win the title as constituted?
I think they can be right there. I mean, the rumors, or not even the rumors, Klay Thompson is apparently playing in a bunch of pickup games, and he's like coming back. If Klay Thompson is all-star level Klay Thompson, and again, I think the Warriors are going to go after another piece. I think they'll be right there. I think you still got to put Utah, which was the number one team in terms of regular season wins. I know people don't like them. They don't trust them.
Utah is not winning the title.
They were the number one team in the regular season.
You need to take a step back. Do you genuinely think the Utah Jazz are going to go in a Lakers with the Lakers and with the Suns? You really think they have a shot to win the title?
I think healthy Utah is a top team in the Western Conference. They were the best team in the regular season in the NBA. I know they haven't done it. I get that. They haven't done it.
They not only haven't done it, they don't even have the makeup of a title team. They're like the eighth best team. If I'm ranking the chances, they're down below. I might put them below the Hawks in terms of chances.
Because you don't think they have a superstar. You don't think Donovan Mitchell is a star.
I think he is almost a star. And the problem is everyone else they have is far away from a star.
Yeah.
So I think that like it's one of those things like Dame Lillard's a star, but he just doesn't have a second dude good enough. Whether Mitchell is or isn't a star, those other guys just they're not good enough for it to be what it needs to be.
We'll see this coming season if they're healthy. But the Lakers being back changes everything. A healthy Brooklyn Nets, that changes everything too.
Yeah. What about Denver? You don't think Denver's got a chance?
With Jamal Murray, they're going to be in the mix. But how are they different than Utah? I think Utah's got a better chance than them, right?
Because Jokic is a star, and Mitchell may be one.
I think he's a star.
Plus, Jamal Murray. I mean, Jokic and Murray, to me, are a much better 1-2 punch than anything you can put up with Utah.
We'll see. Both good teams.
It's because when you were a kid, you had a Jeff Hornacek poster on your wall. That's why you are such a Utah Jazz fanboy. I've never understood it. Now, it was time for the Cleveland Indians to change the name. But is it time for all of these teams to get rid of it? Is it time for there no longer to be the Braves, no longer to be the Chiefs? We will deal with that here on Chanae and Golic Jr. next. Matt Jones, Myron Metcalf filling in here on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Chanae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.